Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. I hope everyone's doing well. I'm doing good. I've had my battles of late, but Jesus is still on the throne. We worship and praise him, and we thank him for life, for health, and even if we didn't have health. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. We're going to love the Lord no matter what. No matter what comes our way, we're going to worship the Lord and honor the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. So, we have a great show in store for you, but of course, you have already become accustomed to that. And we had a great show yesterday with Sister Marie. We were talking about this thing called evangelical reparations, or evangelical reparationist, people who in the evangelical church want money for abuses done by prior generations. And so it's a great show. We did it 2 weeks. Let me encourage you to go to week one and week two and listen to that. And it will bless you. It'll give you sound understanding on this subject. And the show was done by two African-American brothers, plus Sister Marie and myself. They provided audio, we provided commentary, and I'm sure you will be blessed. So now, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ. And let me also say that I'm doing a course on the spirit of Python. And if you want to know what the spirit of Python is all about and how it's just pure baloney and how there is no spirit of Python that squeezes you and wraps around you and tries to take the breath out of you, all that nonsense that people like Jensen Franklin are promoting. If you want to know about the class and how to take it online, it's an online course. It's free. You'll be blessed. If you've never heard of the spirit of Python, if you want more information on it, or if you're an advocate for the spirit of Python, and I doubt if you're listening to this show or Sister Marie's show that you're that kooky to believe in the spirit of Python the way the NAR teaches it, the people in the New Apostolic Reformation. So check it out. Email me. And I'll be more than happy to have you registered and get you all the information on this course. Well, again, bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, doing good. Now, I've been talking big here. I've been saying we're going to give these people a great show. I've been talking big and opening up my mouth wide, not like the NAR prophets who proper lie and nothing comes to pass. So I am putting my neck out there, and I know we have a great show today. So tell us more about today's show.
Well, we're going to continue with looking at Creflo's dollars repentance sermon that we started last week, because he's caused quite a stir among the prosperity preachers and some of the ones that preach a heavy tithing doctrine. So that's what we're going to go back to look at. But I got a couple things before we get back into that sermon, if you don't mind. If you heard about the a preacher in Brooklyn that got robbed in the pulpit.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's all now. The thing is, this donkey over there in Brooklyn. Now I know a lot of preachers in Brooklyn because I'm originally from Brooklyn.
Okay.
So all the preachers in Brooklyn, all the bishops I know, except this clown. I don't know this clown.
Oh, okay. He must be new.
I know most of the clowns. Yeah, no, I know most of the clowns in the circus. I don't know this one.
Okay. But, yeah, I wanted to listen to this and see what happened to him.
Sure. I would love to listen to it.
The audio.
Okay, I would love to listen to it. Now, here's the other thing. This is a young clown, right? This is not a guy that's been at it for a long time. He's relatively young. So the question is, how did he amass all this wealth in such a short period of time?
I don't know. But they got him good, too.
Well, of course they got him good. And listen, it was an inside job. Inside.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. It smells fishy to me. This might be
right.
An insurance thing or a publicity stunt or something, because it just doesn't look right.
Right. Well, if it was a publicity stunt, like the way Dallas Jenkins does publicity stunts, it blew up in his face, because from what my wife told me, I haven't seen the video, my wife told me he looked like a coward. So publicity... Yeah, he looked like a punk.
Okay.
Like we're saying the project.
Well, you could judge for yourself in the audio. It's the audio 3, but I intended to look at it before we got started with Creflo. So whenever
right.
you're ready.
So let's take a look at it. Okay.
Well, have you seen this video? A brazen robbery caught on camera as a Brooklyn bishop delivered his service.
Yeah, 3 masked men robbed the bishop of over $1 million in jewelry, and it was all seen on the church's live stream video.
Yeah, but you don't report how the bishop robbed the people.
No, they don't care about that kind of robbery that goes on every Sunday. And how
right.
do you get $1 million worth of jewelry? And if I'm understanding the reports I've seen correctly, that was just between him and his wife.
That's what I'm saying. How does a young man amass $1 million in jewelry? You know, you take a guy like Creflo and you take a guy like Copeland. They've been at it for a long time, Jesse
yes,
the Planet.
They
they've been
buy
at
that
it at
much.
A,
yeah.
Right. Okay. This guy is young. He's a baby. But you see, that just goes to show the mindset where these guys ask and ask and ask, and people give. Right? I mean, that's just they're out of control.
Yes, they are.
Out of control. Okay.
Let's get right to Fox 5's Robert Moses. He's live in Canarsie, Brooklyn, with the latest. Robert?
Video, a brazen robbery.
Okay, now I know why I don't know this guy. This is Canarsie.
Okay.
Canarsie is a little bit more high-end. It's not the rest of projects. Rehoboth, Brooklyn is different, just like Sunset Park, Park Slope, Bay Ridge. Those are more high end. Canarsie, there's money in Canarsie.
So maybe that's how he did it so fast. There must be some high rollers there, plus the internet.
Well, you know, it's like in every community, you know, you have a good section of Park Slope, and then you have a bad section of Park Slope. You have a good section of Sunset Park, and you got a bad section. Because, you know, in New York City, you cannot, by law, exclude any ethnic group that you don't like from living in that community. It just won't be allowed. So Canarsie, you know, there's money in Canarsie. That's you know. All right.
Caught on camera as a Brooklyn bishop delivered his service.
Yeah, 3 masked men robbed the bishop of over $1 million in jewelry, and it was all seen on the church's live stream video. Let's get right to Fox 5's Robert Moses. He's live in Canarsie, Brooklyn, with the latest. Robert?
Tashani and Dan, the robbery happened here at the church on Remsen Avenue in Canarsie. The bishop believes that he was targeted for some reason. This is a man who...
Wow. No kidding. What's the reason, moron? What's the reason?
He's out there bling-blinging.
That's it.
Oh,
you got $1 million.
It's been some basketball and football players and stuff to get robbed of their jewelry, so this stuff is going on out there.
It's going on. There was a shortstop last week, a shortstop from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Mm.
He left $600,000 in jewelry in his car. He's from Tampa Bay. Go to Tampa Bay. You think you're going to leave stuff in the car? And
No, you're not.
No. So he got robbed of $600,000 in jewelry. He feels like he was targeted. No kidding, stupid. No kidding.
The bullseye on his back by wearing all that stuff and being flashy.
Right. It's like, why do you think they rob armored cars? Why do you think that when people want to, when they want cash, they wait for a Brinks truck to roll up to Walmart and then they stick it up? Why do you think? Why a Brinks truck and not a garbage truck?
Because it's got money in it.
Brinks, exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Who is no stranger to the headlines or to the law?
Yo.
All right. As Bishop Lamar Whitehead delivered his sermon inside his church in Canarsie, the Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries, police say three masked armed men burst in and stole more than...
Now, if you watch the video, AJ, it's very interesting. If you watch the video, he has an adjutant sitting... Right? He's the adjutant is the personal servant. If you notice, the adjutant doesn't jump to the floor.
He just sat there in his chair through the whole thing, just watching, and he didn't even blink. Looks like I mean, I guess if you see armed men, but you would think he would at least get on the floor.
Absolutely. So to me, if I was a detective, I'll be pulling this guy in and saying, okay, this was an inside job. Why didn't you jump on the ground?
Right.
Because when King Saul dived on his sword, his armor bearer did the same thing. Read 1 Samuel 28. So you sitting there calm and collected, and your bishop threw himself on the floor, and you didn't even blink? Something's funny here.
Yeah.
This is the first
exactly.
time I'm watching this. This is the first time I'm watching it. And by the way, the role of the adjutant / armor bearer is to get between you and anybody trying to hurt the bishop. This joker ain't even sweating.
No, he sat there in that chair, because I've seen a longer version of this video. And he sat there in that chair the whole time, did not move. I mean, he didn't even drop his Bible, because you see his Bible sitting there on his lap.
Right. This is an inside job. Either, like you said, for insurance purposes, one, or two, this guy sitting here has something to do. Maybe those three guys in masks are his cousins.
Yeah, that's a possibility, too.
Right? So this is very fishy to me. Very fishy. Okay.
And $1 million worth of jewelry, including a Rolex, from the bishop and his wife. The church's live stream captured the robbery.
When I seen them come into the sanctuary with their guns, I told everybody, get out.
As he later...
Your adjutant didn't get down. What does that tell you, bishop?
Maybe he was in shock.
Shock? Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No. The jig is up. Something's not right. And this guy shows up with his Mr. Magoo glasses there, telling us he took... Wow.
Those are probably some expensive frames, even though they don't look like much.
Right. I mean, they look like Mr. Magoo glasses, but these guys are into all that fashion garbage.
Yes.
Right? So there he is, sitting in his leather chair. That's probably $600-$700. And if not more. And there he is telling us that he told everybody to get down. Well, your man didn't get down. He didn't jump down.
He didn't.
I mean, like you said, his Bible didn't even move. His Bible's still there.
Exactly. And nobody is
right
that
here.
Calm. Nobody's that calm if some armed men, just masked men, just, you know, break through the door. I mean, nobody's that calm. You might be freeze
right.
for a little bit, and then you're going to you know, get down, I would think.
Sure. 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 Unless you're in on it.
Yeah.
See, unless
you
you're
know
in
that
on
they,
it.
You know that you're not going to get shot. You know what this is.
Right. Right. All right. Here's more.
Including a Rolex from the bishop and his wife. The church's live stream captured the robbery.
When I seen them come into the sanctuary with their guns, I told everybody, get out.
As he later recounted on Instagram, Whitehead feared the men would harm his parishioners. They didn't fire any shots, but Whitehead says they stole plenty.
I took my watch, took my jewelry, took my bishop's ring, took my wedding band. They took my bishop's cross.
Police say the robbers fled on foot, got into a white Mercedes-Benz, and drove away eastbound on Avenue D. Whitehead has been in the news before. Besides making an unsuccessful run for Brooklyn Borough President, in May, he claimed he was trying to negotiate the surrender of Andrew Abdullah, who at the time was wanted for shooting and killing Daniel Enriquez aboard a Manhattan-bound Q train. Whitehead drove his Rolls-Royce to the 5th Precinct to, in his telling, facilitate the surrender. But police arrested Abdullah without Whitehead's help. With Whitehead now back in the headlines, he responded to critics who accuse him of being too flashy.
You know, it's my prerogative to purchase what I want to purchase. If I worked hard for it, I can purchase what I want to purchase.
Yeah, and so now you worked hard for it, but now somebody came and took it from you real easy.
Right.
Easy.
And the thieves decided it was their prerogative to take it from him, too.
That's right. That's right. And here's the other thing. Let's say he had insurance on the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which
he'd be a
let's
fool
just say,
not to.
Right. Well, listen, these people are fools, right?
Well,
I mean,
right.
So, I mean, some of them are big-time fools. So let's just say he had no insurance. Let's just say he had no insurance. Look at all the money he's out. And
mm-hmm.
It might be, too, the second version, it might just be an exaggeration. Because I got to tell you, Sister AJ, You know what $1 million in jewelry looks like? That's a lot of jewelry.
Know. Well, I mean, some of the stuff you see, the rappers and the athletes and stuff, there's some custom pieces that they pay a lot of money for. Now, I've heard another figure that was somewhere around $400,000. So
right.
It's somewhere in between $400,000 and $1 million that I'm hearing in these reports.
Okay, let's take $400,000. Let's just take $400,000 as an example.
That's still a lot.
$400,000, that's a lot of jewelry. That's a lot of jewelry. And here's the other thing.
Or some of those big chains. I mean, like you just said, the ball player lost $600,000 worth of jewelry.
Right.
So it doesn't have
right.
to be a whole bag full of stuff, but it can just be certain pieces that they probably had customized, and it's very expensive, diamond encrusted and all this other junk they do.
Right. No, if this clown has a Rolls Royce, think about it. He's driving up in his Rolls Royce. This guy's
mm-hmm.
all about the money. This guy's
yes.
all about the money. So I don't know if it's a baloney story on his part. I don't know if it was an inside job. I don't know if he's doing it to get the insurance. Maybe,
and
you
can
know,
tell he likes publicity because he inserted himself in that case of the shooting in the subway. You know, what's he doing in there? And maybe knows the guy or something, but still.
And running for Brooklyn Borough president. Right, I mean,
right.
Ain't nobody, nobody's gonna be wanting a preacher for Brooklyn Borough president. that's just Brooklyn Borough president is just a stepping stone to mayor, right?
Okay.
Because that's you have five boroughs. You have Brooklyn, the Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. Those are the five boroughs of the city of New York. So if you have any one of those positions, the next grid up is mayor of New York.
Okay.
So this guy's a thief and a robber. And who knows if this is just an insurance scam or an inside job. Maybe he had insurance on stuff and did like Ananias and Sapphira, put half of it away, right? You understand what I'm saying? So we don't know what the story is, but either way, he's a dum-dum. He's a dum-dum. That's all he is. And if he tries to use this to make an insurance claim and they pay him out and he's got all this stuff, it's insurance fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
well, he's not a stranger to fraud, so they're gonna say a little bit more in the report. At least I think this one has that in there.
No, that's it. That's the end of it.
Oh, it is?
Or let me see. Let me see. Hold on.
We mentioned that police say the robbers got away in that white Mercedes. One more clue that you should hear. It has New York.
Does the bishop own a Mercedes? Because they could have been.
He could have loaned
the actors his own Mercedes.
And they might have stole a license plate to put on it.
Right.
Or
your plate
it's a rental.
KMZ5464. Again, KMZ5464. Whitehead is no stranger to the law. He served 5 years in prison for a $2 million identity theft scam.
There you go. Bingo. There you go.
Yes, indeed. He's a
That's
thief.
That's it.
And you know how they love to catch religion when they're in prison. And so he became a preacher, and here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, think about it. think about it. You know, we think about Al Lucal, right, and how he staged that resurrection. Why couldn't this guy stage this robbery?
I put nothing past these guys anymore.
Right.
Because he could be, he's got all this stuff, and it looks like he's prosperous, but he could be in financial trouble for all anyone knows. So he pulled this scam to get some money.
Absolutely.
It's highly possible.
So,
especially since he's already a thief. You know, I'm like, does his parishioners know about his past? And I'm not saying that God doesn't forgive and that people don't deserve a second chance. But I think that because of his past, being anywhere near money would probably not be good for, it would be too much temptation for someone that's prone to steal. I don't know if the Lord would even want him in a position like that. What do you think?
No, absolutely not. No, he would look what he's doing now. I mean, people on the outside looking in are saying, "Hey, he was a fox all along. He's a fox in the henhouse."
Right, and some of the comments under that video, they're just like you. They're not buying it.
Right. Sure. You know, look at Alf Lucal with that. That guy who rose from the dead and was walking stupid, and he had him walking up and down, and he was walking like the mummy. I'm saying, I mean, please, get a better actor. Get some, you know.
Yes.
It was, you know, and then they're giving him water. Hey, here, give him water. And he's drinking like he's retarded or something. I mean, Alf Lucal did himself in.
Yes, he did.
So, no. Even Reverend Ike would never try something like that. Reverend Ike knew better than to try something as stupid as that.
Yeah, well, these guys aren't always the smartest, or maybe they're
right.
delusional in thinking that they can get away with it.
Sure. Now, here's the other thing. I mean, I would think that this would draw IRS attention.
Yeah.
Right?
What, all the jewelry, all the money and the jewelry?
I would think, hey, you know, when this guy says, I earned this money. Wait a minute. There's $1 million in jewelry. Let's go to your tax returns to see when did you earn $1 million and if you reported the earnings.
I'm no IRS agent,
but I know that the people that they hound and the people that they go after and the people that they freeze their bank accounts, I know those people, they make their lives miserable over something like $20,000. Wouldn't it
but
be nice if the IRS
said... somehow preachers seem to be able to get away with a lot of this stuff, though.
Yeah, but he stuck his foot in his mouth because he said, I earned it. Right? So if you say you... I'll give you an example. The Roman Catholic Church buys golden chalices and they buy stuff for their bishops. They buy the rings. They buy the gold chains. Every archbishop and bishop in the Roman Catholic Church has all that stuff. But you see,
mm-hmm.
the Catholic Church buys it and has receipts for that stuff. The bishop doesn't get it. Remember, these people take a vow of poverty. So
right.
whatever they get, it's given to them by the church. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so this guy just said, I earned it. Okay, let's see your tax returns where you earned $1 million. Now, remember, if you earn a million, you got to pay taxes on your salary.
Yes.
Now, when you buy stuff for the church, you take the 501c3 certificate. Let's say you buy $300 worth of stuff at Staples. Okay, you take your 501c certificate, you give it to Staples, and they don't charge you taxes. Okay? So there are things that you buy for the church where you provide the piece of paper, and they attach that to the receipt. And, of course, you don't pay taxes. But on your salary, you pay taxes.
So do
now,
you think he might have bought that jewelry under the church name like a lot
absolutely.
Of them do?
Absolutely. But you see, but where he put his foot in his mouth was he went to Facebook or wherever he went. And he said, people shouldn't be criticizing me because I earned it. Okay. Pull up his tax returns for the past 10 years. You see?
Okay.
And then you want to see and simultaneous pull up the church stuff and see if there's any records of the church buying jewelry.
Yeah.
Because
he might be on his way back to jail.
Sister AJ, if you have $1 million in jewelry, that must mean, now again, this is me now. That must mean you must have earned a $4 million salary. $1 million in jewelry means you have had to have $4 million. Now, why do I say that? Well, in New York City, you have taxes to the hilt.
Yeah.
Okay? Out of your personal paycheck, you have state tax. You have city tax. And then you have all your other taxes. Now, you may, as a preacher, you are given an option to opt out of Social Security. You are given
mm-hmm.
that option. But when you get 65, don't come asking for Social Security.
There's nothing. Yeah.
Because you opted out. You opted out. Okay? All right. So you had to have earned $4 million to have $1 million in jewelry, because out of the $4 million, the government will take $2 million. Because they take half.
Did he get enough disposable income to buy $1 million worth of jewelry?
There you go. You see, and that's why I learned this from a friend of mine who was a cop. He says when they bring the FBI in, he says the FBI are really accountants with guns. FBI agents are really accountants. They know the ratio of, let's say you have a Rolls Royce. Okay. Remember, it's not just what you paid for the car, but it's the insurance to keep that car in Canarsie, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you got to have money for an insurance on a Rolls Royce. You have to have big money. Big money. So, again, they're looking at his income to ratio to his spending ratio. Okay, so you have $2 million left over. According to you, you bought all that, so that's $1 million. And how did you live on $1 million? Because you have a Rolls Royce.
You know he's got expensive clothes and his home is probably pretty nice, and you know.
He's in a heap of, now again, the devil may leave him alone because he belongs to the devil, and he's doing the devil's work and deceiving all these people, and so the devil just may leave him alone. They left alone Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, Paul. All those jokers should have went to jail. Every single one of them. All of them, or at least had their status revoked.
Right.
At least that, right? None of them. They didn't lay a glove on any of them. Why? Because they're the devil's own. The devil's gonna watch out for it. Because think about it, Creflo and Kenneth and Benny and Paula and Randy and all those people, Joyce, look at the people that they deceive.
Right.
Major amounts of people. So the devil, no, don't bother them. They work for me. I need them out there to continue. So that might happen with this clown.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
There's a whole lot of bishops that are going to have security this weekend.
And that's a warning to these flashy preachers because, you know, maybe some of these folks have decided they're going to get their reparations another way.
Right.
Like going in and robbing some of these preachers. And it would make sense with getting the preachers back because they probably robbed you directly.
Right. They probably robbed your mama of tithes for 20
yep.
years. And you just,
mm-hmm.
but here's the other thing, AJ. Why I'm very suspicious. Because they didn't beat this guy.
No. Nope.
They didn't beat him.
Nope. Nobody was shot at. And the guy that was in the background, and then it's like, if I'm understanding the report, nobody else was robbed. Just
right.
him and his wife.
Which is fishy.
Exactly.
Because you would go
they
for the offering.
Took the offering plate. Yep. They'd have took that. Any purses, any money people had on them, all of their jewelry, everybody would have got clipped. And it doesn't look like that's what happened.
Right. So either this is an Alf Lucow type of staging or this is an insurance fraud thing that this guy, because I'm telling you, it's very telling that guy just sat you. Listen, AJ, if you were a detective and you're watching that video, you're saying to yourself, why didn't that guy blink?
Yes.
The bishop threw himself on the ground. He's groveling. And that guy's just sitting there with his Bible open. He didn't even close his Bible.
Nope. It didn't fall off his lap or anything. He did not move.
He didn't move. That is suspicious. And if you grill these people and you squeeze them, they'll tell you what the real deal is. They'll tell you.
Yeah. If they catch one of those guys, they'll tell it more than likely.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And not one of them punched this guy in the face or bopped him upside the head with the gun or nothing?
No.
That just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. It's fishy. It's fishy.
Very.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
But I just wanted to share that because I wanted to see what you thought since it was pretty much from your hometown.
Yeah, yeah. Another black eye by a dopey bishop.
Yeah.
Who wants to live in Brooklyn now? I don't. I don't even want to tell people I'm from. Oh, you from that same place where that bishop got robbed? Mm-mm, no. Brooklyn used to mean something. Not anymore. Not anymore. Sad. Sad.
Yep. So now we're getting back to Creflo. But the audio that I sent, the first one I wanted to listen to, is because last week you brought up some things that he has not repented of or made no attempt to reel back on was the little gods teaching that he promotes, and I just wanted to listen to that. To share that with our listeners, just to remind them, or someone may be hearing it for the first time, what you meant when you said that. This is a teaching from Creflo, and this video is a couple minutes long, I think, of him teaching it.
All right, here it is.
Okay. Now, in verse 26 and verse 27, God now submits himself to this principle of everything producing after its own kind. And in verse 26 and 27, let's read it out loud. Ready? Read. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now that's interesting, because if everything produces after its own kind, we now see God producing man. And if God now produces man, and everything produces after its own kind, if horses get together, they produce what? And if dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what?
Yeah, and your nice daddy and your nice mama got together, and they produced the jackass. But they weren't jackasses.
Exactly.
So they didn't produce after their own kind.
No, they didn't.
But if the Godhead gets together and say, let us make man, then what are they producing? They're producing God. Now, I got to hit this thing real hard in the very beginning because I ain't got time to go through all this. But I'm going to say to you right now, you are gods, little g. You are gods because you came from God, and you are gods. You're not just human. The only human part about you is this physical body that you live in.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that's even more blasphemous than the tithing. And he has never repented of that teaching. So just
right. And
keep
he will
that
never,
in mind
yeah.
when it comes to Creflo.
Sure. The money's nothing. The money's just water under the bridge. I mean, that you're never getting that money back. This guy's never giving you a refund.
Right.
But you know, got this guy, his heretical teachings that damn the soul. Because
right,
you know
yes.
tithing when if you believe tithing. Okay, you just all it was a mugging. That's all. You just got mugged. That's all it was. But when you
mm-hmm.
when you believe in this little God thing, now this is a damnable heresy.
Right. Although that wasn't the video version of it, but I've seen it, and I'm sure you have too. And there were people in the audience that looked extremely uncomfortable, and they were not saying. That repeating the word "you are God," they weren't saying it. They were looking around like, I don't know.
Right.
So there were some people that didn't look like they were going for it, but for the most part, and I just don't understand it. I don't, you know, how they didn't get people that accepted that. I mean, that's worse than the tithing. But I guess when you're brainwashed, and you'll listen to anything.
Yeah. And it's pretty much like, remember when Fred Price was trying to tell us that Jesus committed suicide? And there were
yeah.
some people that just, you can, if you watch that video, there were some people in the audience that were just weren't buying that.
Right, yeah.
You know, some of this stuff, for some people, some of this stuff is just too extreme.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you know, if you look at the great con artist of our time, they have 90% truth or 80% truth and 20% error because they know they can't show too much error because if they show too much error, they'll turn you off.
Right.
So when Creflo was saying this, it was too much error for people to swallow, and I'm sure some people left his church. To that. They left quietly, of
mm-hmm.
course. They didn't make a big stink about it.
Right.
Or, in Fred Price's case, I'm sure there's some people who left. And it's, you know, and in Fred Price's case, I mean, he became a vegetable soon after that because God smote him.
Right. It wasn't long after that before he was in a wheelchair.
Right. Right. So people would have said, look at that. 1 + 1 = 2. This is God's judgment on him. I'm out of here.
Right.
So, you know, for some people, you just can't go that extreme. You lose them. But, you know, the demons inside these teachers just can't help but just teach heresy. They can't
right.
control
That's,
it. You
well,
know,
the devil can't do anything but lie. Even when he uses
right.
scripture, he lies. he uses
right.
it in
sure.
a way that's deceitful, like he tried to use it to trick Jesus into jumping off that building.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, horrible, horrible. Yeah, so, I mean, if Creflo was going to start repenting, start there at
yeah.
the little God stuff.
Yeah, that's the first thing. And if a person, just thinking of my own experience, you feel terrible. You just feel the weight of your sin, and you just want to get it all out. Anything you can think of, you feel that
right.
guilt. You see it the way God sees it, and you want to purge. You don't just pick
mm-hmm.
and choose what you're going to repent of.
Right, right, right. Yeah, but, you know, my contention is that Creflo has gone from dragon and he's now in serpent mode. Mea culpa,
yeah.
mea culpa, you know.
right.
The, the wife that gets battered by the husband, and they both come to church to get counseling, and the husband is crying, and I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, and her face is all swollen with two black eyes. I handed the phone, and I said, well, it's time to call the police. Let's see how sorry he really is.
If he wants to go do time for what he did.
Right, because here's the thing. You go back home with this liar, and the next time I'm going to visit you at the hospital, and you'll be on a ventilator with a cracked skull in a coma. Right? Because
we're already dead.
Or even dead. Even dead. So, I'm sorry. You see, that's why when people go before the judge and, you know, they're found guilty and they go to the judge, Mr. Judge, I'm so sorry. I want to apologize to the families. It was a heinous act. I really did bad. And the judge says, I'm going to give you the maximum, young man. And he gives him 50 years in jail. See, all that pleading and begging and is in hopes that he gives you a less sentence with possibility of parole. But when they throw the book at you, then we'll see if you really repented.
Right.
Then we'll see. See, that. So, no, these guys, Creflo's not repenting. Creflo is a strategist.
He's repackaging.
Creflo knows what exactly. He knows what he's doing. He knows that the church is not going back to what it once was. COVID opened the eyes of a lot of people. And so Creflo is trying to, you know, last week when we were watching the video and playing the audio for the saints, Creflo wasn't repenting. He said he was repenting, but he was arrogant.
Right, and you're not arrogant when you're repenting, not to God and not even to other people you've hurt. You don't act like that if you're truly repentant and sorrowful for what you're doing. I didn't see a broken and contrite heart standing up there in that pulpit.
Right.
Maybe Taffy saw it at home in private. Maybe that's where it was.
Well, no, not even that, because Taffy's an actress too.
Exactly. She's in this with him.
Right. Sure. No, that's not. This is a major con game. Pope is in Canada, right? He's up there. What is the Pope? He's apologizing for what they did to indigenous people. Really? Now you apologize? See, when the people were under the thumb of Rome, they apologized to no one. Now that people are getting hip to what was going on and the jig is up, now it's, I'm sorry. No. We don't want an I'm sorry. We want you to really, 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 really repent. But Rome is never going to repent. They're never going to do that because Rome is Rome. Rome is Rome. They'll tell you, listen, they will tell you I'm sorry to your face and then go behind the scenes and start plotting the next scam. It's about survival with these people. That's what it's about. It's about survival.
Right.
That's what it's about. One of Aesop's fables, right? One of Aesop's fables. There was a wounded wolf, and he said, "Oh, please, Mr. Lamb, please, can you bring me a cup of water? I'm wounded. I can't go down to the river myself. They shot me in the leg, and I can't move my leg. Can you please bring me a glass of water? I'm dying of thirst." And the lamb says, "Listen, buddy, if I come anywhere near you, you'll have me for lunch. Go get your own water." Right? So, because a wolf is a wolf.
That's right.
The wolf
doesn't
want a glass of water.
They know, They only know how to do wolf things.
That's it. That's it. That's Creflo right there. That's Creflo. That's they're survivors. That's what they do. They know how to survive the hard winters.
He's going to keep that money coming in.
That's it. That's what it's all about. All right, so I have here the audio. Where did we leave off last week?
The 22-minute mark is where we left off last time.
Would it be okay if I went back to 15 minutes?
Absolutely, yeah.
This way we can pick it up a little bit and see. I always like to get the thread. All right, I'm going to take it back to 15 to see if we can see if Creflo has an Al Lucal moment. All right. Here it is.
Wisdom is available. Now, above all giving, should be given with pure motives. It should be given with an attitude of worship to God, and it should be given as a service to the body of Christ.
Now, remember that video where him and Leroy Thompson were running up and down on that money?
Yes. Money coming. That was during that scam. Yep.
Right. And they're running, and he's running on the money, and Leroy Thompson is running. There wasn't nothing there about the attitude of worship. The scam
was that
if you give to God, money will come back to you. Better than what, you know, because people invest in the stock market because they know money cometh. Hopefully money cometh if you invest. Well, you're not, money ain't coming with Leroy and this guy. So none of that
sure
was given
isn't.
Like he's saying now with the attitude of worship from a pure heart. No, people were covetous. That's why they were giving. They were greedy. They weren't content with what they had. They wanted more. And so that's why they sowed seeds.
Right.
So he needs to repent for that too, but he ain't repenting. He ain't repenting
no,
for that
he's
one
not.
Either.
So according to 2 Corinthians 9:7, look what he says here. He says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. New Testament, you must decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or don't give in response to pressure.
But that's what he was doing when he forced people. If they were going to become members, they had to submit their W-2 form. In addition
right, and
to that,
give
they
them
had
permission to pull it right from your bank account, so you don't even
right.
see it.
Exactly. So talk about pressure.
Right.
See, if I was the people there. I would do a class action suit and say to this joker, you lied to us. You want to repent?
That's right.
Okay. This is how you're going to repent. You're going to pay us back all that money we gave you. I want it all back. And I would use this video in court. I would say, look what he demanded our W-2. He demanded access to our accounts. Now he has a change of heart? Well, there's no change in my bank account. My bank account is empty.
Is he going to tell people to go to the bank and revoke that, cancel that automatic withdrawal?
Right. Absolutely. So, no, this is survival. He's realized that they don't have people in their pocket like they once did. So he's recalibrating. That's all he's doing. He's recalibrating and seeing how many of these fools today can I get to say amen to what I'm saying to.
Looks
how
like
many?
A lot
then
of
I'll
them.
Know I have them. Right, I'll know I have them in my pocket, and I can continue the fleecing. But AJ, listen. So he says 10%. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. let's say they knock off the. Let's just say the tithe is done away with. Let's just say in his church, no more tithing. Okay. You know what Creflo will do? Creflo will have four or five different things to have you give to. So
and it'll add
you
up to more
was,
than 10% usually.
There you go. There you go. There you go. So he's going to get it no matter. But, see, he doesn't want you to think, oh,
right.
he did us a favor. He released us from the law. No, you don't. Mm. You don't get it. He kept you on the plantation. You still picking the cotton.
Right, so it doesn't matter if master is nice to you or not, you're still on the plantation.
There you go. You're still on the plantation. Because that's what he needs. He needs people to stay on the plantation. And here's the thing, AJ. What's the name of the church? World Changes Church?
Yes, yeah. Something
okay.
like that. World Changes International or something.
Okay, what
they can't even change
in the
Atlanta.
World? There you go. There you go. You see what I'm saying? See what that? I mean, that lady that was riding the bus. She goes to World Changes Church. What's changed in her world? Nothing. She's still riding
Nothing.
The bus. See?
You mean Creflo couldn't buy a nice little car to drive?
Listen, it's again. These people don't think. Sadly, you know, sadly, it's just sad. They go from one abusive relationship to another. I don't know if I told you this story. I had this former student who came to me, and he says, I want you to be my bishop. I want a covering. I said, listen, I got one better. Let me be your brother and your friend. You don't need a bishop. Let me just, listen. Mm-hmm. You have a hard time or you hit a wall in ministry, call me. I'll be there for you. Just mm-hmm. let me be your brother and your friend. Nice guy. Nice guy. Well, he was so hell-bent on having a bishop that he got himself one.
Mm-hmm.
He got himself one. Right? When people are hell-bent on doing something, you can tell them, look,
it.
You don't need that. They're going to do it. And he went and he chased somebody that today is ripping him off to this day. And whatever the bishop says, it's like God is talking. I don't get it.
Some of us get to a place where dysfunction and chaos and mistreatment is the norm, and you don't know anything else. You think that's the right way for it to be. And if someone is nice to you, you don't understand that.
Right.
It's flipped
sad.
All backwards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just sad. So Creflo's mm-hmm. not repenting. Creflo is reorganizing.
Yeah.
Right. That's what companies
this
do.
This is Pearl Milling Company as opposed to Aunt
Correct.
Jemima.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all it is. That's all it is. He's not repenting.
No.
Look. I mean, to repent, you got to have a better plan than just teaching nonsense.
If he taught it wrong for so long, is he even qualified to teach it? That's what I want to know.
No.
How can
Listen,
we trust
if,
this new thing?
If you had 10 car accidents, all your fault, how could you be a driving instructor at a high school?
You can't.
Right?
Right.
I mean,
it would be foolish
for
them to hire you.
Exactly. This is why if you know, right now in my area here, They're advertising. They want school bus drivers, right? Mm-hmm. We need school drivers. We need people to, you know, the yellow bus drivers, right? I mean, the commercials are nonstop because for whatever reason, there's a shortage. Well, you apply, you better have an impeccable record or else you ain't getting the job.
You can't do it.
That's it. And they're going to fingerprint you, too. They want to know if you are on some molester roll.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're asking, they need drivers, but they're not going to lower the standards that low to let Mr. Magoo drive the bus.
Right.
No, they're not doing that. So, all right, here's Creflo. And let me tell you, this whole time, he's got a smirk on his face.
Yes, he does. He's got that Cheshire Cat grin on his face the whole time.
There you go. And you see the little mouse tail on the side of his mouth. He swallowed a mouse and he's and okay.
Well, the tithing teaching always pressured me. It gave me fear. Malachi 3:10 says, what's that? You are cursed with a curse. I remember one time my tithe was like, I don't know what it was, $100 and some dollars and 26 cents, and I didn't have the 26 cents. And somebody put a brick through my window, my car window of a new car I had, and Taff and I just got married, and as soon as I did that, the condemnation of tithing and not tithing came up, and I'm like, you know, and they were just spoke to me and said, see, Dale, if you tithe, then this wouldn't happen. The only reason it happened is it was fear-based.
And who did all the fear-based teaching? He did.
Him.
He founded World Changers Church International. He's the only one in that pulpit.
Right. Other than Taffy on occasion, I've never seen anybody else preaching there.
Or Leroy Thompson who's coming, or a Kenneth Copeland who's coming to stand.
Right, right.
But other than that, it's him. It's him all the time. So the condemnation, he brought it into that church.
That's right.
Wow.
You heard what he said.
He said you're never to give in response to pressure. See, the reason why you ain't getting a job is because you ain't tithing. You should never give. That's pressure. You should never give in response to pressure. I tell you what. And now one of y'all going to get blessed until you start tithing. You should never give responding to pressure. He just told you how to give. You decide going to God, seeking wisdom, decide in your heart what you should give, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And certainly when God puts something in your heart and wisdom comes in your heart, what the actions are going to be cheerful in their giving.
Mr. AJ, see, if 500 people left the church, 500 people gone, 500 people absent, 500 people departed amounts to zero. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
But if he keeps 500 and removes tithing, he's going to get something.
Yeah.
Something.
Exactly.
Is better than zero.
Zero, yeah.
So, right. So the key is keep them on the plantation and you'll get something.
Right.
See, that's the whole thing. Keep them on the plantation,
right.
And you what? You get something. It's just like you have what's the name of that company? If my wife was here, she would tell me. They give you rent-a-center. Rent-a-center.
Okay.
Right? Okay. This is for people who don't have good credit or who don't have a lot of money, all right? So they said, look, you can get that refrigerator for $26 a week or whatever, whatever. Okay, so they let you hold on to it. you keep paying them the $26 a week. In a couple of months, you would have bought three refrigerators at Lowe's.
Yeah. Yeah, you pay much more for it than you would have if you just bought it from outright, you know?
Sure. So you
saved,
see,
put
so
aside a little money and then just buy it, then to go to these
right
places.
Right. So we'll keep it low. Is $12 a month good for you? Not a problem, because they'll keep you on, and then they'll say, you know, we got something else that came in. Would you like to get that for $15 a month? See, and that's how those
mm-hmm
places stay open. They stay open because they got people on the plantation giving something. And giving something, right, keeps the doors open, keeps them in business.
That's right.
Whereas in Lowe's, you better come in with $1,000 up front or you don't get your refrigerator. But you get it that way and you save in the long run.
Right.
And it's yours.
It's the long con that gets you, not the short one.
That's right.
Lowe's might
That's
be
right
expensive, but it's not as expensive as Rent-A-Center or Aaron's or some of these other places.
Right, right. It's just like those payday loans. Why did they outlaw those payday loans?
Yeah, because they were
right
worse than a loan shark.
Exactly, exactly. But you see, people that needed money went
desperate
for that
desperate people.
Right. And so
and
that's
Creflo
the
is taking advantage of desperate people, believing that if they bless him and give to him, that God will give and turn around and bless them for their giving. As you always
right
say, it only works for the one on the top of the pyramid.
It only
but
works
people
for
still
listen
believe it.
At the church that I pastor at, right, people give. And when they say, what I get from it? Well, you get the lights. The lights are on.
Yeah.
That's what you get for it.
Exactly. A nice,
right,
comfortable place to fellowship.
Right. What do you get for it? Okay, the fan is on. You got the fans on. That's what you're getting for it?
Right.
You're not getting anything else.
Mm-hmm.
What you get is a heated building. That's
right
what you get for it. You're not gonna. God's not gonna drop some idea, some witty invention in your head. We don't push those lies. You get a nice, warm, clean, comfortable building. That's what you get for what you give in the plate. And I never mentioned money in the service. If you came to a service, I don't mention it. I don't collect it. I don't touch it. I don't count it. I don't do anything. I just preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I do.
And
so,
Creflo
and
mentioned 2 Corinthians 9 earlier, and weren't they actually doing what you're talking about? They're taking up a collection to help the saints in Jerusalem, I believe, isn't it? Because they were
right
going through some hard times, and that's what he
they
was
were
saying.
Starving.
You know, he, you know, put a little bit aside, and when we get there, we'll collect it. You know, and just give however you want to give.
Right, that's a missions offering for
right
starving saints. That's what that was for. That's what that was for. So again, it's not to run the church. It's not for pastor's salary. It's not for X, Y, Z.
Right.
It's for poor, hungry, starving saints. That's
right
what it's for. So he doesn't even make that distinction. Right? Just give whatever the Lord puts in your heart. The World Changes Church. We'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you'll be happy. They're on the plantation.
That's right.
And you're going to get something. Because, look, he'll have a book or he'll have a CD sale, right? I mean, think about it. They take your money. They take our money. They buy CDs with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They buy the they order in
the
bulk.
The blanks.
Right. Then they use church electricity that you're paying for to mass produce them. Then they turn around and they sell it to you for $15, and they got each one of those blanks for 10 cents. 10 cents plus the case, another 25 cents. And so they, in 45 cents, they sold it to you for 15. Now you paid, you, they got an earning of $14.50 with money that you gave. But you see, you got to be there. You got to be on the plantation to cough it up. That's why he wants you on the plantation.
That's right.
See, it's different things that they sell you, different projects that they have that keeps them. And he's, listen, him and Taffy are just ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. That's all they're doing. It's easy. All right.
And that's the recommendation we get here. Now, I'm not suggesting that we water down our giving. But let's admit, tithing is an Old Testament teaching.
No, not let's admit, like let us. No, you need to admit.
Right, and I've yet to hear him do that in the time we've been listening to this. It's always them or they or the church or some ambiguous term he'll use, but he won't ever say, I did this.
Right, right. He, no, you need to admit, not us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been saying this for years. You
right.
need to admit that you've been sticking people up. You need
yes.
to admit that. Not let's admit. No. I didn't eat of the
forbidden like they,
fruit.
They
you
weren't,
did.
They weren't teaching it. He was.
He was. He's the one setting the tone from that pulpit. He's the one doing it. All right.
The New Testament contains a theme that overrides it. So set aside your emotions, please, just for a moment. And let's see what the New Testament actually says about tithing. Since we're no longer under the law, let's see what the New Testament actually says. I know what you've been told it said. I know what I might have told you 30 years it said, 30 years ago what it said. Let's see what it actually says. All right.
Wow. I was
what
right
I
there,
might have
I was
told
stand,
you.
Right. I would have stood up right then and there. I would have said, Pastor, when do I get my refund check? I would have stood up.
The security would come and drag you out of there.
Right, but I would say, hey, since you were wrong and we were misled and you taught error, when can I expect my refund? Right?
And he's almost saying it like, well, yeah, 30 years ago I might have taught you. Is this he said like he hasn't been doing it continuously the whole time or something? What do you mean you might have told him?
Every week he does. They did it. Every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
And,
they
and
were beating
that
same
that
drum.
Audio, and that audio about shooting people that don't tithe, that wasn't that long ago. That wasn't 30
right.
years ago.
Right. Right. But you see, that's the devil. See, that's the devil. He's trying to sound like we're friends. I'm on your side.
Yeah.
I'm setting you free.
Trying to help you.
Right. No, you ain't setting me free.
Let's look at Matthew 23 and Luke 11:42. They say basically the same thing. Jesus' words about tithing are brief. There are only really two comments here from Jesus, but watch this. He said, and this is so interesting here, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have committed the weightier, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now watch this. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
All right, so he's going in here, and Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees for neglecting the law about justice and mercy and faithfulness in their tithing. And again, for you tithe in these things, but you're neglecting the others. What is he talking about, the others? The other laws. You're keeping this law, but you're neglecting the other laws. So, to be sure, they are tithing. They absolutely were tithing. And Jesus says, you should. You should keep that law of tithing, this, this, and this. But you shouldn't neglect the other laws about this, this, and this. All right, now watch this. So they are tithing, but they're tithing with wrong attitudes. No justice, no mercy, no faithfulness. Others is plural in the New American Standard Bible, and it refers to the Old Testament laws, not only the tithing law, but all of the laws in the Old Testament. You know what Jesus was saying? He says, I want you to be a good Jew. Don't neglect Jewish laws, because can't be a good Jew if you're a Jewish person neglecting Jewish laws. He says in verse 24, they're so busy, you know, straining through water so they won't swallow a gnat, while at the same time they're swallowing a camel. What is he saying? They got wrong priorities. So he's not teaching on tithing here in verse 23. He's teaching on being a good Jewish person living under the law. And to be a good Jewish person living under the law, you can't do this part of the law and neglect the other parts of the law. Does everybody clearly see that? Many will say, well, see, Jesus is teaching on the law. Here's how I was taught. Jesus says you tithe in this, 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 and you ought to. And he stopped right there. See there? You ought to. Ought to what? See, you ought to tithe. See, it's out of context. The context is Jewish people living under the law, tithing according to the law, don't neglect the rest of the law. He's not talking to New Testament Christians. Jesus is operating as a prophet, fulfilling the law, and he is speaking to them as an Old Testament prophet, fulfilling the law, and he is saying to them, you should be tithing according to the law, but you shouldn't be neglecting the rest of the law.
No, Jesus is speaking New Testament. And here's the issue. Sister AJ, can you hear me? Sister AJ?
Hello?
Yeah, can
Hello?
You hear me? Hello, Sister
yeah,
AJ, can you hear me? Okay, we're back. Something
Hello?
Happened. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good, we're back. I thought we were, something had happened there with the internet. I'm so sorry about that. Anyway.
Oh, no problem.
Going back to Creflo. No, Jesus is drawing a comparison. He's saying, listen, you New Testament believers, don't be like these hypocrites, the Pharisees. This is New Testament.
Right.
Matthew's New Testament. And basically Jesus is saying, I'm going to establish my church, and don't be like the members of the Jewish Commonwealth, who with their lips they worship God, but their hearts were far from him. That's what Jesus, he's drawing
That's
a
right.
contrast, is what he's doing. He's drawing a contrast between religious people who play at loving God, play church,
right,
and how we ought
this
to be
would,
doing it.
This was a sharp, sharp rebuke of the religious leaders.
Right, right. Had nothing to do with being a good Jew. He wanted them to be a good Jew. No, it's not about Jew or Gentile.
He's basically softening up this message that Jesus is teaching here. That's what Creflo's doing, not really saying what it's really about.
Correct, correct. So, no. Of course, we are to love God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our being, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's why we have to show
mm-hmm.
mercy. We have to be good.
Right.
We have to do the things that Jesus said, because when you say that you love God and don't do anything for your neighbor, you're lying. You're to love God,
right.
Yes, and then reflect that by loving also your neighbor and being a minister for God, in that he's using you to get to your neighbor who perhaps doesn't
mm-hmm.
know God, or if he does, he may be losing faith in God. It's like in the church. I tell the brothers and sisters all the time, when you go to your brother or sister's rescue, and God is using you to rescue them, you are just an extension of God. You're like the ravens who brought Elijah the food. Elijah was encouraged when the ravens showed up,
mm-hmm.
because the ravens were an extension of God's sovereignty, of God's goodness and mercy. So when you go to somebody's rescue, they're not at home cursing God because, oh, God, you abandoned me. No, if we're a solid church, no one should feel abandoned. Why? Because, like Paul said in the letter to the Corinthians, put money aside so that we can go rescue our Hebrew brothers who are starving in Jerusalem. And this way, God will use us, and they will know that God loves them. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being a good Jew.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy talk. We are an extension of God. We're light and salt. And we're here to help our fellow man. Paul says, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So it starts by helping first our brothers and sisters, and then the overflow of that, we help the unsaved to the best that we can. To the best of our, but it starts with the household of faith. And this way they know God loves them. How will the world know that you're my disciples and that you love one another? That's what 1 Corinthians 16 is about, loving one another. Okay, so they have it bad now. Let's help them. And then when we have it bad, they'll turn around and return the favor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it's about. I have brothers and sisters who may need, I may have a natural brother, natural sister who may need, I'll come to their aid, and then when they hear that I'm down and out, I pray that they will come to my aid. That's what it's about. Here, Creflo's twisted the whole thing.
Yes, he
All
has.
Right.
Luke 11:42 says basically the same thing here now. Now, to be sure that they are tithing, let's look at something. Most people will tell you Jesus is advocating tithing for the new way that he's announcing in the gospel. He is not. He is just teaching as an Old Testament prophet according to the Jewish law. Now, there's another place we see him talking about tithing. Luke 18 and verse 12. All right, now check this out. This is so serious here. Jesus mentioned tithing in Luke chapter 18 and 12, where a Pharisee was boasting. You remember the story about the Pharisee and the publican? Where the Pharisee was boasting, he said, I fast twice a week and I give tenth of all I get. And again, Jesus does not speak against tithing, but challenges the Pharisee where his self-righteousness is concerned. Let me back up here. Look at Look at this in the NLT, and let's back up to verse 11, Luke 18, 11, and read through this. There's a lot going on here. Luke 18, 11, and the Pharisee stood by himself, and he prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. All right, you're going to see the Pharisee is self-righteous. I'm not a cheater, a sinner, an adulterer, and I'm certainly not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. You ever met people in church today that they tell you, I'm a tiger? And what does that mean? That means you're still under the law, huh? I give you a tenth of my income, Lord. Come on. But the tax collector stood at the distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And verse 14 tells you, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do you see Jesus teaching on tithing here? He was rebuking this guy for his self-righteousness. Self-righteous people are people who strive to get right with God. And religion and self-righteousness are the same thing. Religion is the same as self-righteousness. It's man's pursuit to make himself right before God. Religion and self-righteousness operates through guilt and fear.
No, there's different kinds of religion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll prove Creflo wrong. Well, not me, the Bible. I don't want Creflo to say I'm a Pharisee. but here's James chapter 1.
Right.
James chapter 1, and James says this about religion. Okay? James 1:27. He says this, pure religion. So there's a religion that has become leavened, or a religion that has become adulterated.
Right.
There's a religion that has become polluted. But there is pure religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And here it is, Creflo, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now, that word visit in the Greek means to come to someone's house loaded with goods, right? So when you, these are the people you should go to loaded with goods, orphans. Orphans don't have a daddy, so there might not be bread in their house. There might not be a gallon of milk. There might not be any cereal. So when you visit their house, you visit them with groceries. Who else is in the underprivileged class? The widows. So you are to visit them. You are to come loaded when they are being afflicted or they are going through a tough time. That's pure religion. Pure religion is the religion of actions. Who are you relieving? Who are you to whose aid are you coming to? That's pure. And then the second part of pure religion is this. Don't get mixed up with the world. Don't be worldly. So notice, you do things for others. And when you read 1 Kings and 2 Kings, when you read about Elijah and Elisha's ministry to both those prophets, they relieved a widow, orphans.
Yeah.
God used those two men to come to the aid of widows and orphans because that's where God's heart is. Right? So we think a prophet, oh, he's going to give me a personal prophecy, and I got to give him $10,000 so, like Manasseh Jordan so I can get a personal prophecy. No, no. A prophet brings stuff He comes loaded with goodies for widows and orphans, and also keeps himself pure, unspotted, undefiled, untainted from the junk and the pollution that you find in the world. Like when Joel Osteen is hanging out with Lil Nas and he's taking pictures with Lady Gaga, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep yourself unspotted from that pollution.
Right.
That's pure. So he says religion now, religion is of the devil, basically what Creflo's saying. There is the religion of Rome. The religion of Rome is polluted. We want pure religion. Pure.
That's right.
So Creflo, see, the issue with Creflo is this. This is the issue with Creflo. And we go back to the book of James, right?
Mm-hmm.
James says, listen, you shouldn't be a teacher. James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive a greater judgment. Creflo's been teaching for 30 years. Now, Creflo has been teaching, has been in control of the pulpit there at that church for 30 years, and he didn't do a full study on tithing.
Right.
Because it seems like he omitted half the Bible, or at least 27 books of the Bible, and he only taught from the first 39 books. So let's say you're going to go for the bar. Let's say you're going for the bar exam, and you only study half of the manual that prepares you for the bar, you're going to fail. Why? Because
right.
50% doesn't cut it. You got to study every passage, every single – it's like the other day I was talking to a deliverance preacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling me, well, you know, God wants us to – this is what God wants us to do. God wants to take the devil out of people. I said, well, show me a scripture. So I said, show me a scripture where Jesus is delivering a believer, a Christian, from a demon. I said, now I'm going to wait, and you find me the scripture. So he went to scriptures where the person that was demon-possessed was not a believer. Because in the deliverance ministry, they teach that you have to deliver people who are Christians and take demons out of Christians. I said, show me a scripture. Didn't come up with one. I said, okay. Now, I will argue that you argue that we have to deliver Christians from demons. I would argue that in some cases we could deliver Christians to a demon. Oh, what, brother? What did you say? I said, sure. And I took him to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Okay. See, because these people, see, they don't study.
Mm-hmm.
Like on tithing, Creflo failed to look
right.
at every verse in the Bible that dealt with tithing. Okay, so here's a scripture that has the word deliver in it. Deliver is short for deliverance or delivery, okay? So in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, for verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, I have judged already, as though I was present, concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, and with the power of our Lord, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Now, if you listen to people like Jennifer LeClaire or John Eckhart and all these crazy people out there that are into deliverance, come here, I'm going to take this demon out of you. Well, here's the scripture where Paul is telling the church, deliver the joker to the devil. Hand him over. See, And when you throw this scripture at them, yeah, because you didn't look at every scripture. You only looked at the few that John Eckhart wants to show you. But you didn't look at all of the New Testament scriptures that have this word deliver or deliverance. You don't look at all of them. So now when I give you this scripture, it's a reversal of what you claim God would have us to do. Well, Paul says here, hand them over to Satan. Hand deliver him to Satan. And here you are trying to take people out of Satan's hands. And here's the other thing, as though you could. As though you could, because, you know, first of all, we have one deliverer, and it's Jesus Christ.
Right.
If you aren't delivering people, then you are a co-savior with Jesus. That's the other argument. Now you've elevated yourself to co-savior. Because in that passage in Luke where Jesus says, I have been anointed to bring deliverance to the captives.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, this day is the scripture fulfilled. In other words, he's the fulfillment of it. So now if you're claiming you can do what Jesus does, you are a co-redeemer, which you're not. You're delusional. You
right.
see? And another scripture is that Jesus said, if the Son of Man set you free, you are free indeed. So when somebody claims and says, you know, you're partially free. Now I have to come in, and under my anointing, I'm going to deliver you from this demon. So now you've just contradicted Jesus, because he says, if the Son of Man has set you free, you are free indeed or free totally. But now you're contradicting, because now you're saying, no, I still have some things in me that you need to take out.
Right.
So that puts you on par with Jesus. And so he's not the Savior. He's just half the Savior. And then you do. So it's a whole kooky doctrine. But you see, these people who want to be teachers never look at all the scriptures. They never look at all of them. They only pick and choose the scriptures that they want to use to bamboozle people, and they never give you the full picture. And now Creflo is trying to do, well, let me give you the full picture. After 30 years of sticking people up.
And he's still not giving the full picture. He's only partially teaching these things. And as these money grabbers do, it's all related to money and cash and material things. And
right.
these scriptures, a lot of them aren't really talking about that, or it's just a side thing that they're mentioning it, but it's not the point of the scripture.
It's not the point of the scripture. The guy, the Pharisee, is trying to get his justification on his own, which, again,
mm-hmm.
we are justified by grace.
Right.
There's nothing we can do to earn right standing with God. Now, when you come before the Lord and you confess that you're a sinner and you humble yourself, then he applies to you Christ's justification. So this is why at the end of the parable, Jesus says, and which man do you think went down to his house justified?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one who embraced Jesus Christ as his atonement. That's the one who, it's not a tithing scripture, it's a justification scripture. How do we get right with God? Do we get right with God on our own merits, or do we get right with God because of what Jesus does on our behalf? That's the purpose of the teaching, not tithing. But you see, Creflo's going to say, well, you see, you got to be a good Jew.
Right.
And again, he misses
the
whole
self-righteous, point. The self-righteousness that he criticizes, it's really the churches that teach this and have taught this, they engender that because they always making it seem like how much better you are and how much more blessings and favor you can get from God if you do this. So that makes a person who's doing that feel a little bit more of a rung up than somebody who might not be.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, here's more.
guilt and fear. So when you're religious, there's some guilt and some fear. Dependency on guilt is what keeps religion alive and well. And like a drug dealer...
No, that's not what keeps religion alive and well. Doing what God says you ought to do keeps religion alive and well. And it keeps it alive and well in your heart, because religion is
right.
a personal matter. It's a personal matter.
Right.
It's what you do for God. That's what religion is. So James says to keep oneself unspotted from
mm-hmm.
the world. It's your personal relationship with God. Religion
right.
is not all of us together. Religion is you and God, me and God, every individual and God. That's why we talk about Jesus as our personal Lord and
Lord.
Savior.
Right.
Given an addict a small dose of the drug to keep him coming back. So what's happening in the church is we used to give you a small dose of fear and guilt about to be ashamed of yourself for not tithing. That's why none of you. And the thing that bothered me about it is that I never met too many churches that had even 10% of the people in their church tithing. It was like the rest of your church knew something was wrong with this, and you kept pushing it, and you were pushing hard for only about six or seven percent of the people tithing anyway, because they said, I don't know about that. And it turns out they was right.
You see, this guy is slick. He's a slickster.
Slipperier than an eel.
Yeah, because he says the church was teaching. No, it was you. You were teaching this.
He's talking, and he's saying we and they and stuff. And it's like, to be clear, this is a regular Sunday service sermon at his church. He is not at a conference where he's preaching to a room full of preachers. These
right.
are regular people he's talking to. They
Absolutely.
Were not teaching anything. He was teaching it.
He taught it all.
Right.
Everything that church believes in, he has taught it. Everything. Or he has brought in people to reinforce what he has
right.
been teaching. Nobody's coming in there to teach anything that he didn't want them to teach.
That's right.
So it's all him. The church has been teaching. No, you. You are the man. Like you said last week when Nathan said you are the man. You're the man.
Yeah. Exactly.
How is it that we're all guilty when he's the one doing the teaching?
Right. And even if some of these people were sharing this stuff with their friends, they were doing it because he taught it to them.
Right. And he's telling them, get rid of every book, every CD. No, don't get rid of it. You're gonna need that for your class action suit.
I'm gonna need evidence.
Right. Don't get rid of it. No, don't get rid. No, hold on to it. Give it to your attorney when you sue him for all the money he's taken from you over these years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same Gruffalo dog? What happened? I'm growing, honey. I'm growing.
After 30 years. Listen. If I went to my wife, right? If I womanized for 30 years. If I brought home diseases to my wife, and I said, well, you know, honey, I repent this morning because I'm growing. What do you think she's? Listen, a frying pan is gonna crack my skull.
I don't know if you would have made it 30 years with that, but
no, but
I'm
saying
the frying
right.
pan sooner, but yeah,
right, right. But he's after 30 years, I'm growing. Is that the same Creflo? Oh, what, dude? You're a thief.
Yes,
that's it.
He needs to sit down
That's it.
Resign. That's what he needs to do.
Right. And I got to tell you.
You can grow sitting over there in that chair.
Right. I got to tell you, he's quite illiterate. I mean, I'm not a Creflo Dollar follower of, you know, but he's quite illiterate, one. And two, this is a botched up job. I mean,
yeah.
This apology, I mean, I think he's happy with it because the people are laughing and giggling with him, and he feels like he's got him in his pocket. But anybody looking at this says, this guy, I mean, if Jakes is looking at this Robert Morris.
Yeah.
Right. They're looking at this and they're saying, this guy did a stupid job. This is awful. None of this makes sense. None of this. Now, of course, Creflo doesn't care about those guys or about their churches. He's just trying to salvage his place.
He's trying to keep the doors open at World Changers, so he can keep all that.
That's it. That's all he cares about. All right, we got a few more minutes here.
Okay.
I'm blowing. Glory to God.
Jesus does not teach tithing. He challenges the Jew to tithe with the proper attitude. So what about the Apostle Paul? Let's look at the Apostle Paul right quick. As a former Pharisee, Paul, former Pharisee, a former person who lived under the law, we would expect him to advocate tithing. He lived under the law. He was a Pharisee. But when Paul taught giving, he never mentioned the T word. Never. Now, if you think it was such a requirement under grace, why did the guy who got the revelation of grace, why did he never mention the T word? Now, you'll even hear grace people say to you, watch out for those preachers who talk about, you know, you shouldn't be tithing in church, something wrong. No, you better go back a little bit. Either you're living under grace, or you're living under the law, or you're living on a mixture. And nothing happens when you live under a mixture of law and grace. Let's see what Paul had to say. Let's look at this in the NLT, all of them. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. Look at what Paul had to say. Now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the church in Galatia. Verse 2, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. When I come, I'll write letters of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems appropriate for me to go along, they can travel with me. So he didn't mention the T word there. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19. Well, this is kind of boring. When are you going to shout? No. We need to get taught. We, when you done had something wrong go on the inside of you, you got to teach that thing out. So you can shout after I say amen. 1 Timothy.
Yeah, he's got the people in his pocket.
Yeah.
They're giggling, they're applauding, they're laughing. He knows.
Right.
He knows they're staying on the plantation. He knows.
And that's why he's got that grin on his face looking like the cat that ate the canary. He's like,
yep.
I got him.
They're eating out of the palm of my hands. Mm-hmm. And, I had this wrong for 30 years. Dude, sit down. Sit down. You know,
maybe they need some teaching, but they don't need it from him. Not if he'd been wrong for 30 years.
Right. You see, Sister AJ, here's the thing. If I was a math teacher, and let's say my grade was the second grade, and I'm teaching multiplications, and I'm doing 2 times 0 equals 40, and For 30 years, I've been teaching the times tables, and they're all wrong. First of all, it's a crime that the principal didn't sit me down and give me some
right.
other subject to teach. But do I want a teacher who's been teaching for 30 years wrong? Do I want him to teach me now? No. Why? Who's to say that what he's teaching me now isn't wrong also?
Right.
Because his ability to deduce and reason and understand for the past 30 years is just, it's been wrong. So he's already got that, you see, the way he reasons.
He has no credibility as a teacher.
Right. I mean, would you want, if you went to a church and the pastor told you, listen, guys, for 30 years I've had this all wrong. And it's not, listen, it's not about the rapture. It's not about, you know, whether we get raptured in the beginning or in the middle or in the end. It's not about that. It's about something that has to do with your financial well-being, where for 30 years, you were kept in poverty. Right? You take a guy like Evander Holyfield, whom every time this Evander Holyfield had a championship fight, who was at ringside?
Creflo
was. For what reason? To get that time check. That
mm-hmm.
was the reason. Because Creflo's not going to anybody else's job. He doesn't go to the jobs of the school teachers or the firemen he has in his church or even the police officers. Why is he going to Evander Holyfield's job? Why is he going to his fights on fight night? Why? Because the tides are humongous.
That's right.
So, you know, this guy was teaching wrong for 30, and now all of a sudden we're going to give you a pass?
And it periodically through all those teachings for 30 years, he would always say it directly or imply that God, he was hearing from God on this. God was telling him this or that. So now God is changing and telling you something else now? What are people supposed to think about the Lord? That's what make these teachings so dangerous. They give us wrong ideas about who God is.
Sure.
And what he does and when and why.
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't, again, see, this is something serious. Because think about that lady who got on that bus on that video, you know, that airplane video
mm-hmm.
that you had me play, and here she is
yeah.
on the bus. Well, my pastor deserves the best. And wait a minute. How about you, sweetheart? You don't deserve the best? You think that low of yourself that you got to take the bus?
Right.
While him and Taffy are rolling up there in different vehicles and different Rolls Royces? I mean, come on. And then you're not going to help that lady out, like you said, at least get her a car or something. Get her a
right.
bicycle. Get her a moped. Get her something.
Right.
You see, this is why these guys, first of all, it's not my job to forgive him. And even, let's say if I did and you did and his church members did, guess who ain't forgiving him? God. Because he claimed to be a teacher sent by God. So you can forgive
Absolutely.
Him. You can say, well, he sucked me, you know. I forgive the pastor. Guess what, buddy? Lord ain't forgiving him. He's a false teacher. Great show, as always. We stopped at the 28-minute mark. We didn't make much progress because we pulled it back some. But we stopped it at 28 minutes. And looking forward to getting into the rest of this. This is pitiful. His job here, for a logical person, a reasoning person, this is a poor job at repenting. And
yes, it is.
And you know, you say you repent, but then you said the church did it. Wait a minute. No, you did
right.
it. You did it. So, Sister AJ, you have the last word, and thank you for this wonderful show. We look forward to next week.
You're welcome. Well, as always, just thank everyone for listening. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time, the Lord willing. Bye-bye.